It's Friday, and it's time for Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick. Join us from 3 to 4 for an hour of food, drink, and a little information. Call in and have a chance to win a gift card. Call 769-9577. Thanks for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, WLPR. Thanks for joining in, folks. Thanks for joining us here on Lakeshore Public Radio, WLPR. You're listening to Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick, and we got the producer here running the board, Jose Rodriguez. How you doing, Jose?
Good, good. How are you doing, Chef Nick?
Oh, really good. It's beautiful outside, and we got some great food over here. Actually, a bunch of soups and some other stuff. So this is kind of a different show than most shows.
Mm.
So
I see some hearty names hearty. Over there.
Yeah. And we're getting ready. I mean, usually around this time it kind of cools off, and it's kind of warm out there. But
I have my flannel on, so I'm ready for fall.
Well, you know what? In the studios, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't know how it is outside. I'm just here all the time.
Yeah, no, we need windows. Actually, I would love to have been able to just do this show outside. That would have been great.
Yeah, right in the weather is getting nice and cool. Well, compared to the humidity, I guess.
You know, especially, you know, we're going to be doing soups. What's great about soups is when it gets cooler out, it's a dual experience in your home when you make soups. And, you know, what's great is Adam Brenner's here from the Velpo Soup Company, and he's going to give us some tips. So when you do make some soups in your house, you'll make them the right way, I guess. And the dual benefit of making a soup in your house is two things. The house smells great.
Mm-hmm.
And then the stove warms up the house.
Yeah, that's two great things. And yeah. Plus the soup warms you up, too.
The soup warms you up inside. Mm-hmm. So what's going on out there? Anything special?
I have no idea.
No idea.
Yeah,
you've been locked up here.
You
just got done with Tom Lounge's show, too.
I did. Yeah, we had a...
Were you singing along? I heard a bunch of singing.
Oh, like in the back. I wasn't mic'd up or anything.
Okay.
I didn't want to show anyone up. So,
we're going to travel out to Valparaiso. And before we travel, folks, I want you to dial in 769-9577. That's 769-9577. And what's great is Adam Brenner from the Velpo Soup Company in Valparaiso is going to give a gift card if you call in and ask a question.
There you go.
Sounds great. So how are we going to get there today?
So I was thinking, the first thing I thought of soups,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking of like clam chowder.
You like clam chowder?
I do. I love clam chowder. And that's like an Eastern thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like
my wife's from Massachusetts.
East Coast?
They like it, yeah.
And I hear they have a lot of lighthouses out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking like we go in on a boat real nice and slow.
Was your
and,
water going down US 30 or anything?
You know, I wouldn't know again.
We got to ask somebody to get a bunch of water down there.
We need windows in this boat too.
Okay.
But
you got a captain this boat?
I am.
Wow.
That's the lighthouse bringing us in.
Bring us in all the way to Valparaiso.
All the
way. Oh, I see Adam. I see Adam. He's sitting there right in front of the Valpo Soup Company, right across the street from the courthouse over there in Valparaiso.
Wow, I didn't know there was a lighthouse in Valpo.
Yeah, right in front of his place.
Wow.
Yeah, he probably fishes in this make believe pond that we have.
Probably a one-time thing.
Just one time.
Yeah.
Just to get his clams for the clam chowder.
Yep, there you go.
So we're going to visit with Adam. Adam, how you doing?
Pretty good yourself.
Real good. We got Adam Brenner here from the Valpo Soup Company out in Valparaiso. It's like right across the street from the courthouse over there. And Adam, how long have you been there so far?
Just over 3 months.
So Adam is a newbie.
Yes, sir.
To the region, even. So give us some background about yourself.
Born and raised in Los Angeles. Spent a lot of time in Las Vegas and L.A. back and forth. Went to school in Arizona. Went to grad school here in Valpo at Valpo University.
Oh, really?
So that's where I met my girlfriend.
That's
then,
how you met your
wife now.
Okay.
So, yeah, she's a local from Valpo.
Uh-huh.
And after or during COVID, we decided to move closer to her family to help them out. And after sitting on the couch, being with the family for about 8 months, she's like, you got to do something.
She was kicking you off the couch?
She was kicking me out, and I was ready to, I guess you say, jump in the boat.
So you do the restaurant. Did you ever have any other kind of jobs or always in the food industry?
I've always been, food industry and academia, believe it or not. I'm actually a philosophy professor.
Oh, really?
Comparative religion and ethics. That's what I went to VU for.
Okay.
I got a master's there in ethics and studied comparative religion and then went on and traveled a bit.
And put some ethics in your soups.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
They're not just made out of like bouillon or anything.
No, sir. They're more. We're very ethical. We're very organic.
Why Indiana over Vegas?
Um,
too hot to eat soup there?
No, honestly, to to be honest, the housing market. We sold our house in Vegas for a good price, and we had some availability. And so coming here, you get a little bit more bang for your buck. To be close to friends and family, it's a nice opportunity. So,
and you know, you were talking, you know, because you make anywhere from like probably like six soups, and then probably in the winter you get up to how many soups you think?
We do about 160 soups, and right. We do between 6 and 8 every day.
Every day.
Every single day.
So you gained that knowledge. Now, you didn't go to a culinary school,
correct.
Right? So how did you gain all that knowledge with the soups?
I've been working in restaurants since I was 16 years old.
Okay.
I've worked in Greek restaurants, Japanese restaurants, Chinese restaurants, Italian restaurants, French restaurants. I lived in Japan. I lived in India. I lived in France. And so I've always worked in restaurants while teaching and going to school.
Wow.
And so my whole life is literally academia and restaurants.
So when you're teaching, you just kind of worked at the restaurants as a part-time job. I mean,
yeah. I mean, even when I was in VU, I worked at Brewski's, which is now Industrial Revolution.
Right.
I worked at Don Quixote's years ago. I worked at a place called Strongbow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know Strongbow out here.
Right.
For a while. So I've always had to have a job.
But overseas, did you work at the restaurants
I've
overseas?
I've always worked at restaurants as well. So
What's different between what you see overseas compared to what you see here?
Tips. Well, overseas servers, bartenders, anybody in the industry makes a very good wage.
Oh, yeah.
Out
it's
here,
like a regular job.
It's
like a...
scary how little people get paid, and then you hope that the tips are high.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I heard in Japan like they don't tip at all, do they?
In Japan, it's almost insulting to tip.
Oh, wow.
In France, they'll leave you the change on whatever the bill is.
Mm-hmm.
But no, in Japan, the idea is I work, I get paid a good salary. You work, you paid for your food, take it and go.
There it is.
So when they control a kitchen, though, the kitchen environment, is there a big difference in the kitchen? Is it a kitchen a kitchen? Because what I find out when, you know, I've been worked in a lot of kitchen in my life. And, you know, and when you go in front, it's like this big, prestigious place, you know, they're, you know, making all. And when you go in the kitchen, it's sort of a kitchen, you know?
I guess it depends on the chef.
Okay.
And the restaurant itself. Some people hold their kitchens to be sacred, like a temple or a church, so to speak. My kitchen here at Valpo Soup Company
is beautiful.
Is gorgeous. It's my mecca, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It's a glass kitchen. When you walk into the restaurant, it's the first thing you see. We designed it that way so you could see how clean we are, that we actually cook our food, that we're not just reheating things, and that we have no secrets. In fact, the health department loves us because mm-hmm. as soon as they walk in, they can see everything.
Well, when I went and visited you, one of the things you said, you want to see that kitchen? And I just, you know, being working in the kitchen, Jose, mm-hmm. is like, It's weird as well. It brings out these tingling sensations because I've been doing it since I've been like 11.
Mm-hmm.
And this kitchen. Now, can you see your kitchen from the street view?
Yes.
Okay. So what's cool is it's like, you know, Christmas time when you see the little decorations in the window. Actually, if you go to the Valpo Soup Company in Valparaiso there, you can stand on the street and look into your kitchen and see you work.
We always have our baker making cookies, brownies, cheesecakes.
You don't even have to walk in.
You don't have to walk in. You can see everything. We fresh squeeze lemons every single day for fresh squeeze lemonade. You can see everything. The idea is, again, no secrets, and it's entertaining. To me, a kitchen is... that's my man cave, my happy place.
Yeah.
To a carpenter walking into a real wood shop and seeing all the tools
mm-hmm.
perfect, that's his happy place. To a mechanic, the garage is his happy place. So for kitchen people, for restaurant people, I tried to create this, and this was a dream come true. In restaurants I've worked at, not necessarily the case. In some countries, it's for the labor. It's for the workers. And so it can be kind of dirty and kind of gross.
Right.
In other cultures, in France, kitchens are sacred. In Japan, kitchens are sacred.
Right.
In the subcontinent and other parts of Africa, it's just a place to work.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say people don't take pride in cleaning their kitchen. Nonetheless, it's just the way I've experienced it. Yeah, I've worked in many restaurants here in the States, and sometimes you're just like, how are they still open?
Yeah, you know, like you're saying, your kitchen's your sacred place. I mean, you probably go in sometimes on your off time and just sit in the kitchen and just like relax.
Yes.
And look at it. I used to do the same thing.
That's
isn't
where
that
I
weird?
Do my
thing. Like when the day's all done or at the beginning, you like not that you're marveling at it, but it's like a comfort spot.
Oh, I can meditate in there.
It's crazy you say that too.
Chant.
Yeah, because me and my family, like I come from a Mexican background, and the kitchen is our hangout spot. Like that's our living room. Like everyone's in the kitchen, we're cooking, we're hanging out, talking about our day, we're drinking. Like,
well,
most families are like that.
And
it doesn't matter what culture you are. If whenever you have a holiday gathering, mm-hmm. everyone's always at the kitchen.
You know what's weird? And maybe you did it on accident, but your place is sort of like that. The kitchen's in the middle of the restaurant.
It was designed that way.
Okay. And it's viewed mm-hmm. all the way through. And even if you're getting soup or you go to sit down, you kind of like the kitchen's right in the middle and you can see it the whole time. It's all stainless. It's beautiful.
I've gone to too many restaurants where you question, are they really cooking it or is it, you know, right. bagged, powdered? How are they really making something? And if you come to our restaurant, you can literally stand and watch us make food that takes time. Like Cinnabon or like mm-hmm. at the pretzel places at the mall, right. you can see everything.
So why did you decide on soups?
I love diversity and mm-hmm. variety. And no matter what the protein or the starch is, think sauces. You can make infinite sauces. You can make infinite soups. And I've traveled all over and I love sauces. I like foods wet. I like it saucy. I don't really like dry food. And so when my wife and I were talking about what we should do here, it was, let's take something with just sauces. Well, the next thing is soups. Mm-hmm. Then you parlay that with, it's cold all the time in Valpo, at least for 6 months of the year.
Yeah.
And this winter we got dumped on.
Right.
Who doesn't like a bowl of soup and a hunk of French bread right out of the oven?
Dipped right in there.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Folks, you're listening to Let's Eat on 89.1 FM. If you'd like to call in and talk to Adam Brenner from Valpo Soup Company, we'll be happy to hear from you. 769-9577. Give us a call, and Adam's got gift cards for you to try. Valpo Soup Company out in Valparaiso. And what you're saying is true about soups. I mean, soups to me is almost an extension of sauces in a way. I mean, there's only, what is there, five mother sauces.
In the French tradition.
Yeah, there's five mother sauces. And, you know, if you're making espagnol or your velouté, whatever kind of bechamel, I mean, those are sauces, and then when you make the soup, you kind of like add to it. But what's changed in the modern world is mm-hmm. the cold soups. When I was a kid, and when I explained to you earlier, the only cold soup you really heard of is vichyssoise, which is cold potato soup. Okay, but you have other soups that are cold.
Yeah, we...
And it's great when it's hot out.
We planned on opening early in winter this past year, but COVID slowed everything down from mm-hmm. the building to the permits, just the whole process. And it wasn't my goal to open up a soup restaurant in a Midwestern summer. Mm-hmm. But the next best thing is to improvise. And in my catalog repertoire, we have a lot of cold soups. And again, my goal is to introduce just new flavors to people who might not have experienced the spices and flavors that I have in my travels. And so we do a lot of gazpachos, and we do lots of yogurt soups, so to speak.
I've never had a yogurt soup, really.
From cucumbers and yogurts to think cold salsas with fruit. We do watermelon gazpacho, mango, pineapple. We do yogurt and mint, yogurt and cucumber. We do a lot of different flavors that are very nice when it's 92 degrees and humidity's at like 75%. Ideally, we want it to be more like 45 degrees mm-hmm. so we can offer you some Guinness stew or a nice, you know, thick chili. So
give us an idea what the atmosphere is like when you walk in there and the procedure of getting something.
Sure. When you walk into our restaurant, so we got two doors.
Well, let me say one thing real quick.
Sure.
My wife loves your wall of spoons, but carry on.
Thank you. So when you walk in, we're two units in the building. And so we couldn't actually knock down the wall and make one grand front door because it's load-bearing. So we have two doors. So a lot of people get confused on which door to go in. It doesn't matter. You can go in either door. When you walk in, the first thing you're going to see is the kitchen. You're going to see us standing in there and cooking and doing something. If you go to the left, you'll see a wall of spoons and the dining room. If you go to the right, you'll see our cash register and then our service galley, so to speak. Like a Panda Express, you just kind of walk in, walk around the glass. You'll see we have arrows and we have partitions. And again, like Panda Express, you start with the sandwiches and salads. You work your way to the soups. You work your way to the sweets, our pastries, and then you can pay. Along that way, you'll see everything that we do, and then we also offer you beverages. Everything is made in-house. That's the whole point of the glass kitchen concept, mm-hmm. is to show you that we do everything except the bread. We become too big where we can't bake our own bread anymore. Mm-hmm. So now we have a bakery do that.
Oh, that's good.
That was my next question, too.
Yeah, like, we have a bakery that makes the bread, but everything else is made in-house, from the cheesecakes, the brownies. We do fresh-squeezed lemonade, and then most days we grind up a watermelon, strain it, and then have pure watermelon juice, and then we'll mix watermelon lemonade or watermelon tea, because we brew our own black tea every day.
We used to mix it with, like, Everclear.
There you go. Tequila or vodka.
I'm just being...
Oh, everyone says that. A watermelon lemonade. I'm like, just add a little bit of Tito's, and you're in a happy place.
Oh, yeah.
How many seats you got in there?
I think 27 right now.
Really? And didn't seem like that.
They're spread out. We were trying to follow the guidelines. And then what we're going to be doing is adding a counter with another 10 stools against the window. So those that want to come by themselves, you can sit, have a bowl of soup, stare at the courthouse. It's a nice little view.
It is beautiful. Then, you got a great spot.
Thank you.
You got any seating? You got to put seating outside.
We have seating outside right now for about 12. And then what we'll do is bring some heaters out as well.
Any alcohol beverages at all?
Unfortunately, not yet.
You know, and when we were talking in your establishment, you're saying, well, first of all, folks, 769-957. Second of all, your menu is never the same every day.
Correct. Every single day the menu changes. If you go to valposoup.com, we post the menu every single day between 4 and 5 p.m. for the following day. That way you can always see our menu in advance and kind of decide if you want to have lunch the following day. We do have a comment section at the very bottom of the website. So if there's ever a soup that you want to have, just give us a couple days heads up and we'll make it for you. Today, someone said, please, please, please make the broccoli cheddar. Every time you have it, I'm not available. So I said, when are you coming? They said, we'll be there Friday. So we made them a broccoli cheddar and I made 12 quarts of it. So you guys were able to sample some today.
That's awesome.
But we can do that. We do 160 soups. So it's hard to kind of just keep it going. So if there's ever soups people want, we don't have staples, so to speak, but we do have about five more frequent soups that people are always requesting. Mm. So the mushroom that you guys tried, broccoli cheddar's one, the chicken lemon rice, chicken noodle. But we also always have vegetable, vegan, and gluten-free options.
How about you think with no sodium? Because I'm really watching.
Every soup has to have some salt, in my mind. I know there's some people who can't have sodium. What we do is we undersalt everything. On the tables, we have salt and pepper.
That's a good idea.
You can always add salt. You can't take it away.
Right.
So a lot of people, we had a lot of pushback in the very beginning of operations. People out here like a little bit more salt than on the West Coast. And we said you can add, you can't take away, and everyone has their own preferences. So we undersalt. So we try to be healthy in that sense. Second, we always offer healthier options. We always offer vegetarian, vegan, and gluten-free options on our website. You can see it underneath the soup. We'll list if it is. Not many options are available in Valpo if you are a vegetarian or a vegan or if you are gluten-free. There's a few spots and they only have the same thing every day because our menu changes every single day. We always have two or three different options. So people are really enjoying that aspect. It's been difficult to do gluten-free bread and crackers right now because we're a new business. But as we kind of start to get a little bit bigger and more customers come in daily, we will start offering gluten-free bread and crackers along with sugar-free desserts and sweets and treats. Right now, not enough people are requesting them, so we're just using real sugar.
So what are your hours of operation?
10:30 to 2:30 Monday through Saturday for now. And in another week or two, we're going to be pushing open to about 5-6 p.m. Okay. And then come winter, we'll be open till about 7 p.m.
And you really do feel like the winter is going to be...
I'm hoping it's going to be really good. We're getting a lot of feedback. Everyone keeps saying the same thing. Man, you're going to crush it come winter.
I know.
Statistically, people like soup when it's cold.
So what's your day like? I mean, because soups, you know... They take some time.
They do. They do. I get there early in the mornings. I'm there sometimes at 6 a.m., sometimes earlier, sometimes a little later. Just depends on what the menu is. We get in there. We get the range going. We do all of our mise en place. So we do all of our prep work. My sous chef and I, she will chop all of the vegetables. We'll work out our strategy. We know what we're doing for that day. And we'll start with the bases and the stocks. Sometimes we will braise the bones, and we really want to make a hearty stock. Sometimes what we'll do is we'll braise the bones the day before, keep that stock in the fridge, and then bring it back to a boil. We make all of our own stocks.
So what makes a good stock?
Time.
Okay. So what when you make your stock, kind of what do you put into it? Say, the beef, the chicken.
Well, let's just take the chicken noodle. That's the most basic stock that everyone messes up, in my opinion. Clean your bones. People will say just chop up the bird and throw it all in the water. The problem is unless you skim it constantly, get all the gunk out, it spoils the broth or the stock. I try to clean it as much as I can, and then I just low and slow. If you boil the life out of it, basically what you're doing is making just salty water with some chicken. So what you want to do is flavor that water. Salt and pepper is great. Use different types of salt. I use seasoning salt. I use pink salt, green salt, black salt, just different flavors. Mm-hmm. Then don't just use your table pepper. Use different types of peppers. You know, this is – I'm not an artist by any means. Some would say maybe I am because I like to cook. But I can't paint. But this is my art. So it's like instead of just painting with three colors, if you've got infinite colors, you have infinite – materials to create. That's how I do it. Low and slow. Once you got that going, always you have to use your carrots, onions, and celery.
Your mirepoix.
Absolutely.
So that's what the point I was getting to. People, you know, cut them up fresh, mm-hmm. mirepoix. I mean, they're vegetable. In the restaurant I worked, we used to, like, say, shave carrots, cut off the tops, or clean up your celery. And we used to save mm-hmm. the onion
scraps,
skins.
Absolutely.
And all the scraps, like you mm-hmm. said, and then you throw it in, right? And then that helps bring in some flavor, or am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong at all. So there's different ways to make soups. And again, I'm no expert. I didn't go to culinary
school. You have the Valpo Soup Company. You've become an expert.
I'm learning through experience. Yes. But again, I've worked in enough kitchens to see what enough chefs do.
Right.
There's what we call clean soups and dirty soups. Mm-hmm. And the scrap soups are the dirty soups. Basically, mm-hmm. you waste nothing in the kitchen.
Right.
If you are on a budget and you're raiding your pantry, this is a dirty soup. You can throw in ham from the fridge, salami from the fridge. You can clean out the pantry, throw in a pot of boiling water, make a soup.
Yeah.
Clean soups are where you're using the best parts of the products and materials. If you're going to a 3-star Michelin restaurant, you're not going to get a dirty soup. Everything's going
to
be.
But you would never throw green peppers in with that.
Would you?
We were always taught never to put the green pepper. Like, the green pepper could, like, sour it.
A green pepper, a bell pepper. Caspium. Capsicum, excuse me. I make gumbos.
Okay.
I make etouffees.
Yeah.
So you for the Trinity, you have to use bell pepper, celery, and onion.
Right.
So again, it depends on what school you were raised on. It seems that you have more of a French background because you mentioned the five mother sauces earlier.
That's what we used to do. Nowadays, I'm out of tune to what's going on.
You gotta love the Food Network and YouTube because now the whole world can learn from Sri Lanka and Malaysia. Mm-hmm. You can learn from New Guinea. You can learn from Fiji.
You probably get a lot of that. You know, do people come in and try to be smarter than the chef?
I get a lot of. I'm gonna use the word geriatric. you get a lot of well-seasoned individuals who make soup for their families,
right?
And they know everything, and they know better, and they want to tell me how to do what I want to do,
right?
But you know, just like every restaurant, you know, people come in, you should do it this way.
Right.
Well, it's like open your own restaurant.
Right.
This was my vision, so I'm doing it my way. The biggest pushback I have is. This is a generalization. I do apologize if it comes out that way. It seems to me in the Midwest, people are a little bit more hesitant of trying new.
Right.
And for that, when I opened and I offered a chicken lemon rice, everyone kept comparing me to two restaurants that were staples in Valpo.
Yeah, one has a clock on the end of it.
One had a clock, and the other one
I worked at when I was 11.
That's what I think.
And the other one got bulldozed by the university.
Yeah, and it should have been.
Yeah, no comment. So everyone comes in, they're like, well, it doesn't taste like that. And I said, close your eyes and taste the food. Answer the simple question, is it good?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't always compare things to other things.
That's my biggest problem living in Northwest Indiana to begin with and being raised. And specifically, too, I lived in Valpo for a while. Like you said, like the new, everyone's nostalgic. They got those eyes. I forgot what they call those glasses, nostalgic glasses or something like that. But, yeah, you try to get people to do different things or eat something else.
It's very hard. It's the younger generation that's doing it.
My age is a little bit more open to new things.
My kids are like 19, 20, and they're very open to new things. But then once you start getting up to the age, you know, that's it. So, you know, who do we got in line?
So we do have a caller, and it's a special guest.
Okay.
So Gary Graben, he works at Lakeshore with Game Night.
Okay.
And he called in, and he has a soup question. So, Gary, how's it going?
It's going well. Hey, Nick, I love the show. Really appreciate what you do here, highlighting these Northwest Indiana spots.
Well, you got the Game Night tonight?
I do.
Oh, we're gonna have Pepe's Tacos for you guys.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm one of the guys out in the field.
Oh, so. You better run in here.
Those guys eat so fast you lose fingers.
I'm not here this time, so
you got a question?
Well, you're not the only one, man.
You got a question for Annan?
I do. I love almost all kinds of soup. The problem for me is a doctor screaming about sodium. Is there a type of soup that lends itself to less sodium than the average soup?
Stay away from the cream soups.
Okay.
So
okay.
The bisques, the cream soups, again, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a mm-hmm. physician, so I can't tell you the science behind it. I can only tell you my opinion and taste. The salts will adhere to the cream, and it comes out more salty. So the bisques, the potato soups, they always come off a little bit more saltier. The vegetable soups, very little salt. Like my zucchini mm-hmm. soups, my carrot soups.
Your soups didn't taste salty at all.
We really don't – I mean, we'll add just a pinch just to kind of bring out the vegetables when they're sautéing
right.
so the moisture comes out of them. But we're not adding salt to the actual broth. So
okay.
if you go with more consommé soups, that's the way it usually is. Meat soup, so think chicken noodle soup. It's consommé. It's a broth. The meat has salt in it, so that's going to be a saltier soup. So that's where it's like if you're a health person, if you got to watch your salts, you got to stick to the vegetable soups.
Hmm.
Okay, and again, stay away from everything cream.
It might be a little easier, yeah.
Okay, very good, because that's, like I said, that's the biggest problem when you see the list of soups, because every one of them sounds good, and you know the cream ones are fantastic. But,
right, those are the best, right?
You know, but knowing to try to still be able to eat soup but not have the saltiest one.
Well, how about using kosher salt? I know it's still salt, but doesn't that help you use less because you gain more flavor?
We use kosher salt in mm-hmm. a lot of our soups, but again, I can't tell you the science.
Right.
I don't know anything about that part. In my opinion, I flavor I taste.
Mm-hmm.
And some soups, I don't know, it's just pea soups, for instance. You don't really have to add salt to a pea soup,
mm-hmm.
and it already tastes salty.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. when you're slow cooking those peas, I guess there's natural sodium in them. Again,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true in science, but the flavor profile is salty. Lentils don't have as much salt. We were just talking earlier how someone said they can't really eat beans, so
right.
a substitute for beans would be lentils.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
In our lentil soups, they are always less salty.
Okay.
So when I come in, you would recommend either like a vegetable or like a lentil soup.
Absolutely.
To have the lower salt content.
Absolutely.
The zucchini soup that you brought in is really delicious.
That has no salt.
Really? I'd recommend that, Gary.
Again,
that
what we
really
do
good.
Is we'll chop the vegetables. We'll add just a pinch of salt to bring out the moisture.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. Like, we're not adding salt. So.
Yeah, it's really flavorful, too. I'm surprised to hear that there's no salt because
yeah.
it's so flavorful.
So, Gary, what we're going to do is we're going to send you out a gift card.
Sounds great. Can't get enough soup.
Valpo Soup Company out in Valparaiso, right across the street from the courthouse, okay?
I will be there. Thanks, guys, for the good work.
And you know what? We'll be listening to you tonight.
All right. It's a deal. We'll
thank
see you,
you
guys.
All right. Thank you, Gary.
Bye-bye.
We'll see
you. So, you know, we've been talking broth, and we've been talking stocks, and we're talking consommés. So for the average person, what's the difference between them?
All right. So if you Google it, they'll say they're interchangeable. In France, they would say a broth is basically a strained stock.
Exactly.
So imagine taking your stock and running it through a cheesecloth to
mm-hmm.
make sure it's perfectly clear broth.
Mm-hmm.
Versus stock, you might have remnants of bones and fat and herbs and vegetables. You try to get rid of all of that, but there's still some little particles.
Right.
The stock has the flavor. That's what you want. So people who like ramen or Vietnamese pho, what they do is they braise the bones for hours, if not days. And all those remnants, the marrow soaks
right.
into the broth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a dirty broth, so to speak. I just did air quotes on the radio.
Mm-hmm. I just realized I did that. It sort of came across.
That was awesome.
I seen it.
That was awesome. But yeah, that, you know, again, it depends on what school you were raised. If you're Italian or French school, you want to clean them up and they're interchangeable. In India and Japan and China, they're very different.
Mm.
And so the consommé is the finished product. That is the broth, so to speak.
Okay.
The stock, the pure, the base, think ramen.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're straining, the finished product is what you get. The ramen is the clean broth, and
right.
before is
the
stock.
And the consommé is usually got a lot more flavor.
Yes.
And it's usually reduced a little bit more.
Yeah, think of more of a sauce than a broth.
Right. And people eat it just plain.
Yeah.
Consommé. And, you know, people out there that are doing a consommé or want to make a consommé, so you take your stock and you strain it and you have a broth and you boil it down and then you strain it again. And to get the little particles out, what we used to do is actually take egg white, mix it up and throw it in there, and that collects all the sediments. And then you strain it out, reduce it, and then you have what they call as a consommé. Do you sell just a consommé?
Not yet.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if that would be, asked.
You know, in, with a consommé, wouldn't you like maybe add, I mean, can you, like pho, can you have your consommé and then on the side have things to put into it?
If we did that, then our consommé becomes basically bouillon. To some degree, that's what it is. You've reduced it so much, it's concentrated broth. So you can add your own cup of water and you've got chicken soup. If you go to a fancy restaurant and you ever order a chicken and there's that chicken sauce, that's what they're adding, is just reduced broth all the way downwards of sauce. If you ever go to a you have a brown sauce, they call it a demi-glaze, it's the same thing. It's just a reduced beef soup or beef broth.
Speaking of ramen and pho, do you make that at the, and do you guys serve it at the soup?
We do. We do, I think, 8 or 9 different ramens, and then we haven't done pho yet because I can't make those noodles, and I'm not happy with... I'll get to Chinatown and in Chicago eventually and get them.
Your chicken noodle, you're saying you make the noodles for that?
Yes.
Wow. That's a big step there.
So when you make ramen, do you have like udon or is it like the ramen?
We did udon a couple weeks ago. I make my own udon.
Wow.
The ramen, we buy ramen noodles. I can't make ramen. I can't make alkaline noodles. I tried it a few times. It's labor intensive.
Folks, this is an interesting place to go visit. And Adam Brenner from the Velpal Soup Company is here. And he has gift cards. And we want you to call in. 769-9577. Ask them a question, and Adam will be happy to send out a gift card through the radio station. And you're listening to Let's Eat on 89.1 FM, and we're sampling soups. You want to tell us what soups you brought in?
Sure.
They're all delicious, folks.
I need to put my glasses on. I forgot what I was
doing. Raise your hand if you love soups. Oh, I hear all the hands going up out
there. Thousands of hands.
So that means you need to call in and get a card from
So I guess start with your clam chowder.
Sure.
Because that's the one I had, and it was very, very good.
It's a New England clam chowder, the white one. There's white and red. People didn't realize there actually are red
I've never heard of a red clam chowder.
Really?
Yeah, never.
Wow. Yeah.
We do offer Manhattan clam chowder, more tomato-based. This one is a cream base. It's potatoes, bacon, celery, leek, shallots, and then baby clams. We use heavy cream and butter, so it's a heavier soup, but it's delicious. Today we also have a watermelon gazpacho, so it's a cold
soup.
Good. I don't want to say it tastes like a salsa, but to some people, it tastes like a very fruity salsa with cucumber, celery, and then what we do is we crush up watermelon, add pure watermelon juice to it. Today we also brought the broccoli cheddar. We make ours from scratch. We don't use any powder mixes. We don't use anything. Our cheese is actually grated cheddar sharp cheese. So a lot of people say you're not like blank bread.
Right.
And I said, well, if you want something where your spoon stands upright, you can go there. If you want something that's made actually organic, proper materials, try ours. I like to think ours is better.
I'll have to chase that. I have not tasted that one.
Well, I'm grabbing the cup and taking it with me. You better hurry up.
We have our zucchini and squash, very similar to a vegetable soup, which we go heavy on the summer zucchini and summer squash. Again, best way to describe it is just a very nice, clean vegetable soup. We have our mushroom bisque. This is probably one of my favorite soups overall. I use 3 different types of mushrooms. I brown them in butter, I salt them, get the juices out, and then we'll add flour and heavy cream, and then we'll grate them, beat them, whisk them up, puree them, and you get just a great flavor over a good 2 hours. And then we'll add a drop of sherry to it, cook off the alcohol, and it's a great mushroom bisque.
I have to say, after tasting the broccoli cheddar, definitely better than blank bread.
And I could tell, smoother.
I could tell as soon as I was pouring it, I'm like, wow. This is.
And then the last one we brought was chicken noodle. Normally, I'm not a, we should have chicken noodle every day, but I can't tell you how many times every single day, if we don't have it, people are saying, we're using your chicken noodle.
Right.
So it's one of our staples. It's my grandmother's recipe. The lady, I love her, she passed years ago. She couldn't cook. I mean, everyone talks about their grandmothers are great. Again, air quotes. I don't know why I keep doing that. my grandmother could not cook to save her life, but man, she could make one thing, and that was chicken noodle soup.
Oh.
And she showed me that you got to basically braise the bones and you got to do it right. And I stand by that soup, and it's wonderful.
So what do you use for thickening agents? Tell people how,
most of our
things.
Thickening agents are flour. We'll use an all-purpose flour. We'll use an almond flour. We'll use, just depends on what soups we want to use. We offer a lot of vegan options, vegetarian and gluten-free options, so then we can't use flour. So what we'll do is we'll use cornstarch.
Okay.
Like a lot of Chinese restaurants or Chinese food, we're not using the cornstarch to just make it shiny, but we are thickening it up.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you the body of the soup. So a lot of our vegetable, I make a great spiced carrot soup.
Oh.
And if we just puree the carrots with water, it's just carrot water. And we can flavor the water as much as we want, but there's no body to it. So by using cornstarch, what we do is we do a triple boil. Again, I don't know if this is actually the proper term, but it's what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
I will bring the broth to a boil. I'll add the cornstarch, and I'll whisk it as hard as I can. And you know that sometimes you get those clumps, yeah. No matter what.
You don't make a slurry with the cornstarch
first? I don't.
Oh.
I find that the slurry wastes time,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't give me the thickness, the consistency that I'm looking for. I've tried it 1,000 times,
mm-hmm.
and so I do this triple boil method, and it works for me. And what that is as you whisk the cornstarch, you get those clumps on
right.
top. I will let it boil, and I guess boiling it, the clumps kind of break down, and they get thicker, and they almost get like gluey and gum-like. I then take it off the fire and let it cool for a good 20 minutes.
This is something I'm learning new.
No, this is my own. I don't know if I'm inventing this or.
You might be.
But it
also,
works.
Real quick, what is slurry, you said?
It's what you do is you take the cornstarch and you mix it with a little water or sometimes stock, and you bring it to where it's like paint.
Like paste, a thicker
like a paste.
Yeah.
And then when you add it in,
it thickens it up.
Right.
Correct.
So go ahead. I want to hear this.
So what I do is. I boil the life out of it, and those clumps will become kind of glue-like and gummy.
Right.
And I take it off the heat, let it cool down for a little bit. And then what I do is I use my emulsion stick. When I call it the magic stick, you know, those things where you just beat and zzz.
Yeah.
And I put that in there, and as I'm pureeing the carrots, the gummy clumps break down.
Okay. Wow.
Then I put it back on the fire, bring it back to a boil. That, then all of a sudden you really start to see it thickening up.
Huh.
What I do then is I add another round of cornstarch and do the exact same process. And when I'm done, I've then brought it to a third time boil, and you get a really nice thick consistency that you say, how did that come from? And interestingly, I'm not using a lot of cornstarch.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking a tablespoon, 2 tablespoons for quarts of water.
Right.
But doing it this way, it's maximizing what I'm looking for and minimizing my materials.
Is this something that you feel like, are you seeing
I
it
figured
somewhere?
It out. No, this
no,
is all me. I've been doing this now
years. I've been in the kitchen since I've been 11. I'm 60 now. I've never seen that procedure.
When I was in India, I spent a lot of time in all over South India and North India. And I have a lot of Indian friends, and I might get in trouble for saying this. They are well off,
uh-huh.
and they all have servants there.
Uh-huh.
And I would always go into the kitchens watching their servants make food. And they'd always yell at me, hey, you're here to visit us, not our servants. And I said, no disrespect, but I actually want to learn how to cook, and you guys can't cook anything.
Right.
So I watched the servants. And I would watch these methods, and you know they didn't speak English, and I learned a little Hindi here and there. And they would basically say these are methods that have been developed over thousands of years of cooking. And like any cuisine of the earth, it comes from, I hate the word peasants, but it comes from the poorest people making magic with the scraps that they're given.
Right.
And that's where you learn about flavors. And so I've seen this method, not exactly, but I've seen it in similar situations in India and Sri Lanka where they were thickening. And I kind of just added onto that and... So far, everyone's enjoying it.
I just learned something. That was something I've
never.
There
you
go. Who do you got on the phone?
Man, I'm mad I missed the learning opportunity. Like, I learned. No, but we have Marjorie from Gary, Indiana on here.
Hey, Marjorie.
Hi there.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I missed the lesson. I missed half the lesson.
Yeah, me and Marjorie were talking.
That's what this show is. It's about eating and lessening.
Mm-hmm.
Learning through your tongue.
There you go. Adam?
No, I just want to warn you, I'm geriatric, but not in my brain. Let's just say not my palate. Out of the blue, I'm thinking the Japanese belief for every new food you try, you live 86 more days.
Oh, I love that, actually.
I'm going to be touring restaurants for sure.
Me too.
Yeah, for the rest of your life and live forever.
You have a question for Adam?
Not really a question, but I'm floored that you actually have soup in your name of your restaurant. I didn't hear you from the beginning, but I'm always, especially this time of year, starting in fall, it's like soup season. Like some people go deer hunting, I go searching for amazing soups. So I want to go see you. It is a little bit of a drive for me, but some things are just so worth it. So, but I want to warn you. It sounds like you have a lot of soups available regularly. Now, I don't eat anything with a face or a mom anymore. So I could do egg drop, but I don't have any gluten sensitivities, although I do stay away from wheat on purpose because the way they do it. It sounds like you pay attention to a lot of things.
You know, you'll really enjoy this place. I mean, it's sort of like a little bit of a show, you know, because you can see what's going on in the kitchen and then the amazing array of soups that he offers.
Oh, no kidding. So it's like sitting in the back of the Chinese restaurant, huh?
Well, when you're standing at the window outside, you can see right into his stainless steel kitchen. When you go in, they got a window and you can just watch what they're doing inside the kitchen too.
So let me ask you, so it sounds like every soup is like a soup of the day, but maybe you can explain that. So do you have like regular fare and then like you try something out and have it as a soup of the day? How does that work for a place that concentrates on soup? Do you actually have a soup of the day? That's my stupid question for the day.
No, ma'am. We do 160 soups, so literally it's just random. Every day we just kind of figure what we want to do. People request certain soups. I'll look at the market, what's seasonal. Most importantly, I don't want to cook the same thing every single day. And so I have a huge catalog, and I don't say I throw a dart at a board and just kind of pick randomly what
soups. You got a bingo machine, right?
But that's pretty much it. But yeah, we try to create a menu that something for everybody.
Right.
We'll have a chicken soup, we'll have a beef soup, we'll have a vegetarian soup, we'll have a potato soup, something for everybody. And then we do take into consideration health. Right. A lot of the restaurants in Valparaiso have very similar menus, and we wanted to offer a healthier option.
So what we're going to do is we're going to send you out a gift card to the Valpo Soup Company in Valparaiso. It's right across the street from the courthouse. It's easy, easy to find. It's a beautiful spot. You know, find a nice day, take a nice walk around the square, okay?
Yeah, and I wanted to ask one other thing. So since you mentioned art, I'm all the most amazing experiences of my life is when palette wise is when somebody combined two things that I would not have, or two or three or four things together. Now maybe that doesn't work with soups because there's a kind of a blending thing that happens. But what was your most amazing discovery of a couple things that you would not normally have put together, but you tried accidentally, or you heard it, you tried it and you loved it? And
coconut vinegar, cilantro, jalapenos, and tequila.
I might have to ask you.
Eat and drink.
Eat and drink together, and believe it or not,
Marjorie, we're gonna have to let you go because we're only got 10 minutes left, and we got a couple other callers.
Beautiful.
But thanks for calling in.
Look forward to the watermelon gazpacho. That was amazing.
It was good. It was good here. Thank you. Have a great day. It's beautiful.
Thank you, Marjorie.
Who else we got there?
All right. So after that, we have Steven from Lafayette.
Steven, how are you?
Good. How are you, Justin?
Good. How are you picking us up?
I a little late to the show, but I try on Fridays to take a listen, and I wanted to call in and ask a question about the restaurant you're featuring today.
That's so cool. We got someone from Lafayette. I went to Purdue. That's my own stopping
place. I work at Purdue, so that's exciting.
Oh, there you
go. Yeah, I went to our RHI program there. So, what question? Are you from Valparaiso?
I am near. I'm from the region, originally from Hammond, but family in Cedar Lake, St. John, Cherville area.
That's great. We got a question for Adam, our soup czar?
Yes. So I'm a little late, but I didn't hear. Do you have a great lemon rice soup?
I was going to ask you about that one too. The Ava Lemino.
We do have a chicken lemon rice.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a chicken rice. We do a chicken pork. A lemon pork, excuse me. And then we actually do a lot of different rice dishes, rice soups, from sizzling rice soups to etouffees. We have a wide range. And again, if you go to valposoup.com, if you're ever going to visit Valpo, there's a comment section at the very bottom. Just literally say, hey, I'm going to come in on a Friday, make something with rice in it, or say, I want chicken lemon rice. We'll make it for you. We just ask 2 days heads up, and we'll make any soup for anybody.
Does that answer your question?
That answers my question. I look forward when I visit next time.
So Adam Brenner from the Valpo Soup Company is going to send you out a gift card to his restaurant, and you'll get in the mail soon.
Well, thank you in advance for that. I appreciate both of you.
Thank you for calling in.
Have a good day.
All right, thank you, Stephen.
You know, we only got like 9 minutes left. It went by very fast. But when we were discussing things in your restaurant, you said that your concept might change a little bit here and there.
I spent a lot of time in Vegas. I don't say I'm from Vegas. I'm from Los Angeles, and Vegas. I come from, at least I like to think of myself as a different restaurant mindset and school of thought. A lot of restaurants, especially out here, you buy a restaurant, you build a restaurant, your dream is to open your own restaurant, and then you die. So the idea is you have it for 20, 30 years, and you hope that I'm going to leave it to my kids. And your kids are like, look, Dad, I don't want to work in your restaurant.
That's what my kids said.
Yeah, it happens. My dad had a law firm. I didn't want to take over a law firm. I'm from Vegas, and restaurants change every 3 to 5 years. Concepts have to change. You have to evolve. People get bored. Going back to the olders, the elders, the geriatrics, they like continuity. They want to be consistent. They want to know what they had yesterday is going to be there tomorrow. My generation, we don't mind change. We anticipate it. The one thing that we've learned is – I'm not going to put you, but my parents' generation kind of screwed the pooch to some degree. Mm-hmm. I'm in college. You have 9/11, which is tomorrow, the 20th anniversary. Right. I'm starting my professional career, the crash of 2008.
Right.
I'm starting my family life, and now we've got COVID. Mm-hmm. And so if I can't plan for the future in long term, the best thing to do is then just accept the fact that, you know, we might have to just adapt every 3 to 5 years. So I take that into mind in consideration. And so my wife is born and raised in Valpo, and we really, really love Valpo. We're going to raise our kids here. They're going to go to school here for the next 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. So I got such a great deal at my location. I signed on that I have multiple options. And so when we were doing our build out, we already anticipated if we were to change concepts, we don't have to do mass remodeling. So the kitchen can stay exactly the way it is. The service station could become an actual bar counter. The dining room becomes a dining room, and then we'll just put a hostess station. So we've already put the electrical, the plumbing in. We've already planned for 4 different restaurants if we want to move that direction. Mm-hmm. If Valpo Soup's a gold mine and we run with it, then we'll just stay there until we're done with it. But again, I come from a school where there's no problem changing concepts. I'm not emotionally attached to this. This is just a business. It's a passion project. I love what I do, and I'm very excited to come to work every single day. But if we have to change the concept, so be it.
So you're Valpo Soup Company in Valpo, but you offer other items. Can you tell us what they are?
We do. So we do soup, salads, and sandwiches, and pastries.
And you make them all?
Everything.
Except
for the bread.
Okay.
Originally, we were going to be Valpo Soup Company and Bakery. But we figured putting the giant sign, soup, salad, sandwiches, would get more people in the door. Mm-hmm. So we offer a wide range of salads and sandwiches. And again, every day the menu changes. It's whatever seasonal the market provides. So we're getting kind of known for our chicken salad and our tuna salad.
I think those are big around this region too.
Everyone's loving it. We don't just do mayo and chicken.
What is your chicken salad?
Our chicken salad is chicken breast. We grill it. We chop it up. We make sure we clean it really nice and good. celery, red onion, red grapes, raisins, apples, Dijon mustard, a blend of spices and herbs, and then our mayo.
Did you bring that today?
I did. That's the chicken salad there. And then the tuna salad as well. We use an Indian mustard, apples, raisins, celery, a little bit of mustard. It's not your traditional spread type sandwiches. But we also do offer bacon, lettuce, tomatoes, and turkey, you know, sandwiches on avocado.
Don't you have like a peanut butter bacon sandwich?
We are one of our staples. So we don't have a kid's menu. And a few of our regulars saying they want to bring their kids in, can you at least just make a PB&J or a grilled cheese? And I said, sure. And there was a person behind said, hey, I want an adult version. I said, what about a bacon grilled cheese? And he was like, yeah. And next thing you know, it's on the menu every day now. So what we do is a bacon grilled cheese or a bacon peanut butter and jelly on Texas toast. It's a bit smaller. It's a kid's sandwich, but it's a smaller price. It's like a $6 sandwich. Mm-hmm. Comes with our house-made coleslaw. But if you get that with a soup, it's enough food. I mean, really, our soups are 16 ounces. It's a hunk of bread. You can't go wrong.
I was going to ask, he said Indian mustard. Do you make curries?
We do.
Really?
What kind of curries, Indian curries. I don't like
There's a lot going on in that unit.
Yeah, I don't like the word curry, but we use a blend of spices. We'll use peanut sauces. So if you think Thai food, we'll do Thai curries, peanut curries. If you think Indian food and gravies, we do Indian curries from the south and the north. Okay. Basically, curry is just a word for spice, but when we think of the masala, the sauces, that's what we do as well.
Okay, wow.
I've got a lot of subcontinent flavors.
Wow, that's awesome.
So are people, wants like a gallon of soup, you'll just do it?
Well, we can do that. We can.
Any catering? You've been thinking about any of that?
We've done that as well. We've already we already cater a lot of the law firms, a lot of the banks. This morning, someone came in and ordered 200 cookies and brownies.
Wow.
We can offer large amounts of our sweets. We do 12 different types of cookies, different brownies, cheesecakes, everything and anything.
But your sandwiches and salads, are they change up like your soups every day?
Every day.
Oh, wow.
Everything changes, except the bacon, grilled cheese, and peanut butter and jelly. That's the
basic things.
That's there.
And any loyalty programs yet?
Not yet. We're thinking about like one of those punch cards where if you come 10 times, you get a free meal. I think we'll get there in another week or two. I don't know. We've just been trying to prep for a Popcorn Fest.
So here's a question. I don't know if you guys...
Oh, that's right, folks. Popcorn Fest tomorrow.
Oh, man.
And you'll be
we're
smoking.
It's going to be a busy day tomorrow. We're excited.
I was going to say, I have a quick question. Out of the blue, I don't know if there's... Can you pair like certain like wines or any alcohol?
That's a good idea. That's a good question.
I tell people, right now we're only open for lunch, and it's hard to take a soup and let it sit for hours because we don't want to microwave our soups.
Right.
If you come in another week or two and we extend our hours, people can come for dinner. Take your soup. There's some soups with whiskeys and vodkas go really well, believe it or not. Oh, wine goes with it. I mean, I can drink wine with anything. But certain whiskeys and certain vodkas really do go well. I mean, you get a good potato soup, a good vodka goes well with it.
Wow.
You know, we do gumbos. You can't go wrong with some bourbon or some whiskey.
Right.
And then we have a lot of Eastern European soup. So like a borscht, can't go wrong with good vodka ever.
Believe it or not, we're down to our last couple of minutes.
And
I haven't even went, look at my check marks. I still got a page and a half of questions.
I'm
going to ask you back. You know that.
I'm happy to come back.
We have it back for the fall or the winter show.
We'll have
like a big extravaganza.
Yeah. So, 30 seconds. It's your floor. Say what you'd like.
To anyone out there, please come to Valpo Soup Company. Aside from being delicious, we're incredibly friendly. We're outgoing. We love to talk about food. Every single person there is a foodie. We are the cleanest place in Indiana.
That's
a bold statement. I know it is, but I'm proud to say we've got the most beautiful kitchen in Indiana.
It's a destination spot.
I really want to see it now.
It's great. Everything's fresh. You can't go wrong. And the free samples. You can taste anything you want before you make your purchase.
One last question. Oyster crackers or regular?
We actually serve it. It's called matzah, but it's a 7-inch by 7-inch cracker. That's how we serve it.
Oh, that's how you serve it.
So you're against oyster crackers?
It's not I'm against it. It's mundane. It's been done.
Yeah, right.
We have a gimmick. It's a large giant saltine.
Uh-huh.
So people enjoy it.
I like that
it.
A lot, okay. actually.
We hit the end of the show here. Believe it or not. That went way too quick, Adam. So I want to thank Adam Brenner from the Valpo Soup Company out in Valparaiso for joining us here on Let's Eat, 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio. We encourage everyone to go out to Valparaiso. I think it's a destination spot. It's a beautiful spot. It's clean. It's got variety. So visit Valpo Soup Company out in Valparaiso. I want everyone to don't forget to join us tonight for game night, most exciting thing that happens on this station, probably.
Heck yes.
Heck yeah. All those football games are going on. I want to say go Crown Point, go Maryville, go Velpo. Those are my teams.
Go Maryville Pirates.
And I want everyone to have a great weekend. Enjoy it. It's beautiful out there. Hug your family. Yasu.